You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Bugs, big bases, and rule changes. Oh, my. He's Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. I'm never going to get that image out of my head now of a bug flying your eye while you're playing football here on ESPN Radio.
A bug in my mouth and my eye before. I've had them both.
Yeah, I just want to stay with the eye part. I don't want to go below that. Thanks for joining us on the ESPN app.
See, so gross. Chat.
It certainly is, but still very effective. And also ESPNU. So we need a constant breakdown because we're going to need it when it comes to the new rule changes in Major League Baseball. Always great to have Jeff Passan, ESPN Major League Baseball insider, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Jeff, I know it's only been a few spring training games, and a lot of people had different opinions on it, but what is your opinion on Major League Baseball really going zero-sum 30 when it comes to making these new rule changes and putting them in place this soon?
Freddie, I'm watching baseball games right now, and it feels like I'm 10 years old all over again. I was born in 1980, so I grew up watching baseball that actually moved at a reasonable pace and baseball games that didn't slog on for 3+ hours. And I think it's a shock to the system of people who have been conditioned over the last 25 or so years to think that baseball games have to last 3+ hours and there have to be guys adjusting their batting gloves in between every pitch, and there have to be pitchers who are standing there looking in, waiting for God knows what to deliver the pitch. But, hey, guess what? Turns out you don't need that at all. All you need a clock is to keep people on time. And, Key, all due respect to you, if the best argument against the pitch clock is a bug might get in my eye, it's not a very good argument. And the reality is it is being borne out through the numbers. There have been 35 games played this spring training so far. Last year, the average game time during spring training, guys, was 3 hours and 1 minute. This year, the average game time has been 2 hours, 38 minutes. That is a 23-minute difference. There have been 6 games that have lasted over 3 hours. All of them have had 14 or more runs, so it's been high scoring. There have been 12 games that have lasted fewer than 2.5 hours. Major League Baseball wanted to accomplish 2 things with the pitch clock. Number one, a shorter game, and number two, a faster pace. The shorter game, it's unquestionable at this point. And the faster pace, while jarring for baseball fans who have become used to something else, is something that we will adjust to immediately, and this will be the new norm.
Yeah, Jeff, I'm just, I was just pointing that out. What ifs, right? I mean, who knows what would happen? It is spring training, unlike the regular season. And I'm sure based on what we've seen in spring training in terms of clock management and speeding up the game, do you think that some of the players, like in spring training, everybody plays or everybody doesn't play. But when you start getting into the top dudes on the roster in Major League Baseball, will it affect their game both at the plate and on the mound up against these clocks in the regular season?
That's the big question at this point. What sort of demonstrable effect is this going to have on the game itself? When we're talking big names, Key, I can point to Aaron Judge, who told Marley Rivera this week, I think the pitch clock is going to be a good thing. I can point to Max Scherzer, who after his first start yesterday said he's excited for the pitch clock because it's going to allow him the opportunity to mess with hitters' timing. We have to remember, athletes, maybe more than anyone in the general population, are exceedingly malleable creatures. They adjust to things all the time. Literally, if you're a football player, there is the idea of a second half adjustment. So you're adjusting on the fly. This is something that players knew was coming, and they have spring training to get used to it. So yeah, while I do think it's going to have specific effects on pitchers and hitters, I'm not quite sure what those effects are yet. You know, there's a school of thought that if you're going out there as a starting pitcher and you're trying to last deep into the game and you don't have as much time between pitches to recover, maybe you're not going to be throwing quite as max effort as you were. And the lack of max effort throws may bring velocity down, or at very least stabilize it like it did in the minor leagues last year. And I think the biggest change in baseball over the last decade plus has been the extreme velocities that we're seeing and the difficulty in hitting them. Well, if you can stabilize that or maybe even pull it back a little bit, then that's going to change the offensive game in baseball too, where pitches are going to be a little easier to hit. And you may have that offset with a little bit more offense. I mean, the notion of some of these games, I think there was a 17-run game, a 9-8 game, 10-7 game, that lasted only 2 hours and 50 minutes. It's literally unbelievable in what baseball has been like over the last, you know, 2.5 decades. But it's becoming a reality, and it's bearing out on the field now.
Jeff Passan, ESPN senior MLB insider, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. The San Diego, I'm still chasing the Dodger Padres. They just gave okay. Manny Machado. They just gave Manny Machado an 11-year extension.
Scared. You sound a little scared there, buddy.
Not quite. They gave him a $350 million contract extension over the next 11 seasons. Obviously, he had years left on the other one. They extended it out, gave him some more money because he threatened to opt out at the end of the season. What does this do for Juan Soto's extension? Are they going to get that done, or will he actually be on the market?
Good question.
That's a really good question, and I would have told you after the Padres spent $300 million on Machado in the first place and $340 million on Fernando Tatis Jr., that's probably enough for a market there. No, it is not. They went out and gave $280 million to Xander Bogaerts and $100 million to Joe Musgrove and $106 million to Yu Darvish, and you would think at that point, okay, this is a small market team. They already have a payroll higher than the Dodgers, third highest payroll in baseball. That's enough. No, that's not enough. It's clear that the Padres want to build a winner and that they are prioritizing that at the cost of money. And yet when you look at the appreciation of the value of the franchise, Keyshawn, since Peter Seidler bought it back in 2012 for $800 million, the Padres are worth well over $2 billion now if they were to sell on the open market. Wow. The reality is he has taken some of that equity, leveraged it, and reinvested it back in the club in hopes of building something that is sustainable. Will it be? That remains to be seen, but we see what the Padres do really well. They have drafted players and gotten talent in their system enough to go out and make a lot of these trades. And if they can continue doing that and developing some of these guys and really making a team that's not just based on free agency, but based on the combination of free agency and drafting and developing and signing Latin American players and developing them, then that is the most sustainable thing you can have. And that's the hope for the San Diego Padres.
What else has gotten your attention in this preseason / beginning of the season before we get there with Major League Baseball being 31 days away from opening day?
Look, Freddie, you know my job is to go out and get news. Mm-hmm. So I'm very attuned to the transactional element of the game, and my eyes are squarely focused on, like, November 1st, 2023, which is when, at the conclusion of the World Series, Shohei Ohtani is going to become a free agent.
I was literally about to ask you that next, Jeff. I was literally about to ask you that.
Listen, we see eye to eye. That's why you guys like having me on the show. That's why I like joining.
True.
We're vibing like that. Shohei Ohtani's had two consecutive historically great seasons. He won an MVP. He finished second to Aaron Judge, who only broke the American League home run record last year. Like, this is the caliber of a player that we've never seen. And listen, I've covered Barry Bonds, I've covered Mike Trout, I've seen greatness up close. It's nothing like Shohei Ohtani. He hits at an elite level and he pitches an elite level, and he's about to get paid at an elite level. If he puts up a season anywhere near what he's done each of the last 2 years, he is going to be the first North American professional athlete to be guaranteed $500 million. And 500 may just be the starting point, guys, because you've got the Dodgers, who are going to be all over him. You've got the New York Mets, who would love to cajole him to come out to the East Coast. And you even have the San Diego Padres, who I believe are going to be in on Ohtani, as well as Juan Soto, who is going to be a free agent after the 2024 season.
Mm. John, go ahead.
I was going to say, when you think of Ohtani, though, what region of the country, though, that he's most comfortable in, though? Or does it really even matter? Because when he came over, we all thought, okay, Dodgers or Angels made the most sense because of the communities in which L.A., meaning proper L.A. Dodgers from an Asian influence, and then Orange County makes a lot of sense. Now we're talking about New York and some other places, but what falls in line with what his thinking is?
Well, at West Coast was certainly the preference the first time through, but I think Shohei Ohtani is going to have been here for 6 years and seen the country, and I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he would be willing to go to New York, especially when Steve Cohen is the owner there and has shown a willingness to throw around dollars like nobody else. I mean, what the New York Mets have done to build themselves up is pretty incredible, and particularly if Max Scherzer opts out of his contract after this year and there's a hole in that rotation, Shohei Ohtani would fill it really, really nicely. That said, I think the industry believes there's still a West Coast preference, but I don't think you can rule anything out at this point. It's going to be, I'm trying not to get too prisoner of the moment here, but yeah, it may be the most fascinating free agency I've ever seen.
Yeah, and many people believe he could wind up getting a $600 million contract when Shohei Ohtani gets to the open market. And when that happens, before that, Jeff Passan, ESPN Major League Baseball Insider, Senior Major League Baseball Insider, will be all over. Hit him on Twitter, Jeff Passan, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Always a pleasure catching up with you, Jeff. Have a good day as well, and enjoy the rest of the spring training.
Keep the bugs out the
eyes. Stay away from them bugs, Keith.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I saw that report last week. Real quick, Keith, John Heyman of the New York Post said he could get $600 million in a contract when it comes to Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, we got him here in L.A. Don't even trip.
I'm not tripping. Put it this way. I think your main competitor would be the San Francisco Giants. Because when you mentioned the Asian population, I think they'll be a main competitor.
Yeah, no, it's signing back to the Angels, never winning anything. Dodgers, opportunity to always win. And then San Francisco rebuilding. So, we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be part of the Hollywood
swinging. Something about being a Dodger is a little bit different, though.
We get it. We understand it. Let's just move on here. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keyshawn Johnson there. Freddie Coleman here. Hit us up anytime you want at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And we hate to say it about James Harden, but his future will depend on the playoffs and what he does with the 76ers. We'll explain that next on ESPN Radio and ESPNU.
The NBA created the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion Award. Abdul-Jabbar has long been committed to using his influence to engage on social issues to promote equality and fight discrimination. And in 2016, Kareem was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor.
Black History Always. Celebrating Black History Month on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
He is Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman. Appreciate you joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app. And don't forget about us on ESPNU. So you got Boston here. You got Milwaukee there. By the way, real quick, before you get to that, I can't wait to see what the NBA playoffs are going to look like, Key. When you got so many storylines, you got the Lakers and their resurgence. What's Golden State going to do? Will Sacramento ever play defense? Can the Clippers figure it out? You got Boston, Milwaukee, and a lot of people wondering about the future of James Harden in Philadelphia and how much of that, Key, is tied to what they do in the playoffs, because no matter what happens, he's going to get the brunt of either criticism or love, even in my opinion, a lot more than Joel Embiid, who is clearly the guy they need to play well in the playoffs no matter what.
Yeah, but if James Harden wets the bed, like most people have alluded to in the past, in his playoff performances, he's going to certainly be the focal point of the demise of the Philadelphia 76ers. It'll be Doc to a degree, okay, but a lot of it is going to fall on James Harden. I think Embiid isn't going to be the issue, because they kind of, Philadelphia Sixer fans in general, they've kind of already, Embiid's their guy. James Harden is on the outside kind of trying to be the guy. And Doc Rivers, they almost rooting for him to fail. You know, it's like, that's the way I feel. I feel like they're almost rooting for Doc to not get there because.
Why?
Because of the situations in the past, the way he's played rotations in the past, the way things have gone in the playoffs in the past. It was almost like he failed with the Clippers to some degree to some people, you know, and then he gets basically parachuted in as the 76ers' savior as a coach. And now you're looking at a situation where they got a nice team, but if they can't somehow get further than where they were the last couple years, they're going to be looking to move on from him as well.
Well, we'll see if James Harden wants to move on from Philly if they don't advance and get the NBA Finals and win the NBA chip, because Daryl Morey, 76ers president, he had to deal with that kind of question from Kevin DeGondi of SportsCenter, which was an accurate question to say, hey, what about the future James Harden no matter what happens in the playoffs?
Specifically with James Harden, he took a pay cut this offseason, and he could test the market as a free agent this offseason. How much would the success of this postseason and gelling with Embiid play a role on his future in staying in Philly?
I know he's just focused on this season and not the offseason, but I know that he's focused on winning the championship. He's going to be wherever he feels like he has the best chance. Obviously, his pairing with Embiid is very, very good, and we feel like it's a great pairing for the long term.
You pointed this out when we talked about this about 2 hours ago, in terms of Daryl Morey saying wherever he wants to win a championship, because I didn't catch that, but you caught that. When somebody comes out of their face, and says that immediately, that means they know something. That was very interesting. Daryl Morey was like, look, we want him to be here, but there are no guarantees. And it seems like he's leaning that if we don't get in the playoffs in advance, that James Harden is going to be somewhere else.
Well, it could be somewhere else. And when he said that, it caught my eyes because I started thinking about the Lakers. And I started thinking about the Kyrie situation and the Lakers needing somebody like a James Harden, needing somebody like a Kyrie Irving. If you miss out on Kyrie because Kyrie wants to make up the difference by that money staying in Dallas, or Kyrie wants to join Kevin Durant in Phoenix, and then all of a sudden you got James Harden who's made a ton of money and both on and off the court, and now only thing he's chasing, Kyrie already has a ring, only thing he's chasing now is getting a ring to solidify his position in NBA history to a degree. Does it make sense for the Lakers to start sniffing around James Harden come the offseason if, in fact, he's looking to really test the free agent market? What do those numbers look like? Is it the same amount of money that Kyrie would essentially get from the Lakers? Because me personally, I probably would rather have James Harden paired with LeBron and AD opposed to Kyrie paired with LeBron and AD. So there's a lot to unpack here between now and the end of the season and the start of free agency. There's just a ton of it, but I think it makes a lot of sense if James Harden is going to become free. And right there, you heard Daryl Morey say, hey, you know, wherever – he wants to win a championship at. It's like,
why would you say that?
Right. Why would you say that?
By the way, Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman, and Keyshawn, Jalen, and Max on ESPN Radio. Here's why I believe Daryl Morey said that. To me, and this just me, he was letting James Harden know, look, I want you here, but if you want to go somewhere else, I still got Joel Embiid. I still got guys that want to be here, that will want to come here and play with Joel Embiid. This is the best possible position for you, James Harden, if you want to recognize that goal of winning a championship. if you want to recognize that goal of changing the narrative about your lack of playoff success. We know he has had the numbers, but when they have needed him in certain situations with the Rockets, and I'm not going to hold the Brooklyn Nets against him. Everybody was beat up, including him. He went out there on one leg and tried to play, so I'll give him credit for that. But if they're not able to win in Philadelphia and he gets that vitriol that's going to come his way if he doesn't play well, if that's what I'm saying, I'm Daryl Morey. Look, your best possible position to win a championship is right here. You should not even think about going anywhere else when you're not going to have a better teammate on your side right now in the prime of his career, when you got a guy like Joel Embiid who you need him a lot more than he needs you.
And if they don't get it done this year, though, you say his best position is to be there in Philly. If they don't get it done this year, Doc Rivers probably going to be gone. So now who are you bringing in? Who are you bringing in to help win that championship? We already know Darwin Ham is staying in L.A. Mm-hmm. He ain't going nowhere after the season. We know LeBron James and AD are staying in L.A. They're not going anywhere after this season. But we don't know what they're going to do with Doc Rivers, right? We just don't. So now you bring in Mike D'Antoni. Is that the rumor?
Now you're back to doing the same thing that you did in Houston.
So now what? So it's like you also, if you're James Harden, you got to think about, do I want to just – and on top of that, if you couldn't get past Boston and Milwaukee, what makes you think you're going to get past Boston and Milwaukee in 2024, 2025?
That's fair, but at the same time, I know if I'm James Harden, if you go to – let's say you go back to the Western Conference – even though the Eastern Conference is better, the West is still loaded. And with younger players at the guard position that you got to deal with.
Yeah, but they got to deal with me too.
Yeah, but James Harden, he's an advanced player. He's an aging player at a certain point. Yeah,
but they got to deal with me too, though, if I'm James.
You can have that mentality, but the league keeps getting younger and faster. And James Harden is not as fast as he used to be. He didn't need to be fast. That first step is still lethal when it comes to him.
But I'm also going to a team that utilizes spacing so well in knockdown shooters. And if I'm a knockdown shooter and we got a bully in LeBron and we got AD, now we can kick and I can knock it down and I bring the ball up the court, give it to LeBron. He does his thing, kick it back to me. I can just knock the shot down. I don't need to be fast.
We'll see. Put it this way. I'm rooting for James Harden, except when he plays the Knicks. I'm rooting for him because I would love to see him change that narrative. I would love to see him be able to do that. I don't trust it. I don't think he'll be able to, but I want to be wrong about that when it comes to him. But you're right. When it comes to Boston and Milwaukee, even though he's been terrific for Philadelphia, that doesn't mean that's going to be enough against a team, both of those teams, that have long defenders that can really bother him.
And what would Atlanta look like now? What's Atlanta going to look like now, right? We don't know.
Well, with Quinn Snyder as their new head coach, if Trae Young is on board with this and all reports seem to be that he is, if he thought he got coached hard by Nate McMillan, wait until Quinn Snyder is going to be his head coach. Now, if that's what he wants.
It's a different way of communicating, though, too.
I agree,
You can coach a dude hard depending on how you talk to him.
Well, that's why I don't know. Maybe Nate McMillan, old school guy, Trae Young, a new school guy, was not receptive to that. If he's receptive to a new school discipline from Quinn Snyder, then all of a sudden you even become more attracted with Atlanta. Either way. It's going to be very interesting, kind of future and the future James Harden in Philadelphia.
Freddie, how do you feel about being a Knicks fan? How's your soul?
I feel a lot better now because Jalen Brunson, I'll raise my hand and say, I thought that was a lot of money for a guy that hadn't proven it. I'm happy to be wrong because that's been a bad dude in the fourth quarter. But he's made Julius Randle better. R.J. Barrett, hope he'll figure it out. I think getting Josh Hart at the trading deadline really helps. Now Jalen Brunson have to handle the ball as much. For the first time in a while, they're not a championship team. I'm not crazy to say that. But I feel a lot better about them going into the playoffs as long as Tom Thibodeau does not screw it up as a head coach of the Knicks.
So your soul feels good. You feel better now.
We're building.
You're building.
I don't know if my soul feels better. I'll just say that my soul is not as open as it used to be before the trading deadline. And they look a lot better. By the way, they won 6 in a row, so I will take that. With the Knicks. He's Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us on Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. And are injuries the only reason that could keep the Bucks and the Celtics Eastern Conference Finals from happening? This is ESPN Radio and ESPNU.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max.
And Key, I've heard you say this so many times, it's ingrained in my mind.
Don't tell me what I said.
Well, I'm going to tell you what you said because you keep saying it.
The Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max Podcast.
23 of the most important games of my career for a regular season.
Lakers might have to go something like 17-6 in order to make up that gap. It's a major challenge ahead.
The way the West has looked, I can't dismiss the possibility that the Los Angeles Lakers could make some noise.
And I think as these pieces are better pieces than what they had before, I still see this team being, you know, an 8 seed who goes out or has an exit in the first round.
You're always going to give them a chance because they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
He's Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman. Together on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPNU. So we got a Lakers comeback and their ceiling. We got the Knicks playing better, but we could have a Boston-Milwaukee Eastern Conference Final, and nobody be able to get in the way of that. We got plenty of those things to discuss and more with Tim Bontemps. Does a great job as an ESPN NBA writer. Hit him on Twitter at Tim Bontemps. By the way, he'll be covering the Celtics versus the Knicks later on tonight. Let's go back to the Lakers and that 27-point comeback, trailing by that much, Tim, in the second quarter. What was your reaction to seeing what they were able to do when it did not seem likely that was going to happen?
Well, I certainly thought it was a pretty terrible meltdown by Dallas, led by Luka. Just really did not play very well at all over the final two or three quarters of that game, Freddie. And look, it was an impressive win for the Lakers, who have shown some fight and shown some life here over the past week or so. Obviously, you know, let's see where LeBron's foot is at after he was, you know, limping a bit, leaving the game and or leaving the arena yesterday after the win. But look, AD was awesome. Jared Vanderbilt was a very welcome, from a Laker perspective, dose of athleticism and energy and defense that they haven't really had over the past couple of years. You know, they're deeper after the trades they've made and the moves they've made to add some pieces around LeBron and AD. And if those guys keep playing well, they've got a shot to certainly get themselves in the play-in mix and see where things go from there. And I will say, you know, not only that comeback yesterday, but over these first few days after the break, they've really had just about every result go their way. They've had a bunch of teams in front of them lose. They've gotten a couple wins in a row, and, you know, they've got to jump a lot of teams to get in the mix here. But these first few days after the break, things have certainly fallen the way they needed to. And now all of a sudden they're, you know, they're a lot closer to getting into 10th and have a chance to move up higher in the standings than that.
Tim, what's your hesitation, though, with the Lakers? Is it that these guys are only going to be together 18 games, 17 games before the end of the year? Is that the hesitation to say that this roster is now constructed as a nice team to make a strong playoff run?
Yeah, I think, Key, at this point, they're still not that good of a team, ultimately, right? Like, if you have LeBron and AD and you get in the playoffs, like, even if they're the 8 seed, I'm not going to feel great if I'm Denver having to play LeBron and AD in the first round, right? That being said, we're still looking at a team that's got pretty limited depth, pretty limited athleticism, really, other than Malik Beasley, not another guy that you look at as a, you know, above average NBA shooter. And Malik Beasley is a guy who,
as we saw yesterday, you know, he'll get up 10 or 11 threes a game. And while a couple days ago he hit a bunch of them, yesterday he went 2 for 11, right?
Yeah.
So they've added their depth. They've gotten better. They've made meaningful strides forward. But I just don't – I still don't think they have quite the same ceiling as some of these other teams. And, like, the other thing, too, is, like I said, let's see where LeBron's health is at, right? Let's see where AD's health is at. If those two guys are healthy and playing like they did yesterday, then the Lakers have a chance to make some noise here. If either one of them has any kind of issue over the next couple weeks, they could, you know, slide a little bit and then maybe not even make the play-in.
Okay, so let's play radio for a minute here.
Uh-oh.
Let's assume let's assume that the Lakers are 100% healthy. Let's assume that they are healthy. Can they not compete in the playoffs if they are healthy? Not just AD and LeBron, but D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, instead of going 3 of 11 or 2 of 11, all of a sudden he turns into what we thought he was, and all of a sudden Vandy turned – Vandy, see, I gave him a nickname. All of a sudden he does what he did last night.
Vando.
Yeah. Vando. So now all of a sudden he does what he's doing. Can they not compete with the Clippers or Memphis or Denver or whoever else comes out of the West?
I think, well, like I said before, I think if they get in the playoffs and you're in a first-round series and you're one of those teams and you're playing the Lakers, if they're healthy, I'm not going to feel good about playing LeBron and AD in a series, right, and having to win 4 out of 7 games. Now, if you're talking about competing as in, like, they can make the finals, I just don't think they're going to be able to win 3 series in the West with the roster they've got and with the wear and tear that LeBron and AD have on them at this point. But if you tell me that they're in the, you know, the 2-7 or 1-8 series and it goes 6 or 7 games and they pull off an upset and LeBron is awesome, like, yeah, I think there's a world where that can happen. I think that's as much because the Western Conference is not that impressive and totally wide open. And the fact that, again, if you're talking about a 7-game series and LeBron and AD are able to play 42 minutes a game, you've got a shot, right? And that's why the moves the Lakers made at the deadline were good in the short term, in the sense that they did give them some real depth, solid depth pieces that filled in some real weaknesses they had. They needed more shooting. They got D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley. They needed athleticism. They got Jared Vanderbilt. They got defense. You saw the way Vanderbilt was playing against Luka Doncic yesterday, right? They didn't have anybody who could do anything like that before. So, you know, they're not a complete team. They're not, you know, they're not one of the best teams in the league, I don't think, at this point. But if you talk about competing in the playoffs, like I said, if they get in against anybody in the West and their guys are healthy, that's not going to be a matchup you're going to look at and be like, oh, man, we're excited to play LeBron and AD and the Lakers. I mean, it's going to be a difficult matchup because those two guys are that good that they're gonna give any team they play a hard time.
Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA writer, hit him on Twitter. Tim Bontemps joining Freddie Coleman and Keyshawn Johnson and Keyshawn J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio. What team can keep a Boston Celtics, Milwaukee Bucks, Eastern Conference Finals from happening, Tim? Because it seems like we're really leaning that way.
I mean, Philly's the only team, Freddie, that can do that. I mean, you know, the Knicks have obviously been a great story. I'm personally really hoping we get Knicks-Cavs in the first round. I mean, Donovan Mitchell versus the Knicks would be pretty juicy in a first-round series. But those teams, Miami, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Toronto, none of those teams are good enough to beat Milwaukee or Boston in a series. It really just comes down to, can the Sixers go toe-to-toe with one of those teams and win? I think they've got a better chance against Milwaukee than they do against Boston. I think it's not the best matchup for Philly against the Celtics. We saw, obviously, I was in Philly for the barn burner they had the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Boston ended up winning that, you know, right at the end, as you guys know, when Tatum hit that shot and Joel's 70-footer was just late. But yeah, other than Philly, there's nothing stopping that. And frankly, like, we're just talking about the Western Conference. I think the three best teams in the league are Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly in some order. And I think there's a pretty big gap between them and everybody else. The problem for Philly in particular is, you know, this is a team that we've been waiting to see break through to the conference finals for years now, since Joel really came onto the scene. And they've got one of the best teams in the league this year. The problem is the two teams that I think are better than them, they have to get through to get that far. So, you know, might just be an unlucky situation for them, but I'm with you. I just want to see a healthy Boston-Milwaukee Conference Finals because I think that has a chance to be an all-time great showdown if we're able to get it.
Yeah, that could be seven games of hellacious basketball if that happens. Hey, Tim, always appreciate you, my man. Enjoy the game tonight between the Celtics and the Knicks at the Madison Square Garden.
Appreciate you guys. Talk to you soon.
Always appreciate right, Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA writer. Hit him on Twitter at Tim Bontemps. Joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max with Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman. So who's it going to be?
Who's it going to be?
There you go. Yeah, there we go. Between the Lakers and the Trailblazers and that number one spot, which one has the best chance to get in? We'll get to that after this one, Dollar Shave Club. Still overpaying for a razor in this economy? Ugh. Gross. Inflation is lame. Crying at the gas station is lame. And overpaying for razors is lame. That's why Dollar Shave Club exists. With Dollar Shave Club, you can get a top shelf shave at a regular shelf price. They've been hawking shaving products for years online, and they're excited to bring you the same great quality and low prices at a store near you. Find Dollar Shave Club in the men's razor aisle. Get your Dollar Shave Club razor wherever you want. Epic razors, epically affordable.
Greeny. The Giants should sign Daniel Jones and tag Saquon Barkley. I hate saying it, but the lot in life of the running back is to get used up and thrown away.
Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. He's Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us on ESPN Radio, as well as SiriusXM Channel 80, the ESPN app, and also ESPNU. Don't you just love that kind of groove? It's sinister. It gets to the point, gets right inside you. Well done, Alan Yates and the ones and twos. Well done. So who's going to get that spot? You got the Pelicans at 30-31. Portland Trail Blazers, a half game back at 29-31. Los Angeles Lakers, a game back at 29-32. Now, the Pelicans, we don't know when we're going to see Zion Williamson again because those injuries that he has to deal with, and when you have those kind of injuries that seem to go on and on and on, you have to wonder how that's going to affect him when it comes to psyche. The Portland Trail Blazers, they get 71 points last night, Key, from Damian Lillard, part of 13 threes. But the Lakers, that's trending upward. That is all the makings of a team that's not just going to get the last play-in spot. They could possibly get out of the play-in itself and be part of the top six.
Oh, yeah. If they do, they're going to hurt some feelings, though. They really – if they get out of the play-in, get in the play-in and get out of the play-in, they're going to hurt some feelings, no question about it. You are threatened, not feared, but threatened by Anthony Davis and LeBron James. You don't have to fear them. You're just threatened. You know that it's going to be a tough out. You're going to have to play your A game because they're going to play their A game. And it's going to be a tough out. And so the Lakers, for whatever reason with LeBron James, they just strike fear in people, you know, to a degree.
I think you have to fear them and respect them. I think
– well, the respect part is you're going to respect them anyway. But, that's just part of it.
But it has to be both if you're in the Western Conference because of what you just mentioned. When you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis and – they avoid injuries. We don't know what's going to happen with LeBron's foot and what that severity is. He's not going to say anything about that, but we'll figure it out later on.
You know, watching him limp off, he's fine.
Is he fine, or just fine?
I think he's fine. First of all, he had his regular shoe on. So it wasn't. So clearly, to me, as Dr. Johnson, looking from afar. He had his regular game. He had his regular shoes on, so there wasn't any swelling. Yeah. Me, just Dr. Johnson.
Okay.
If he's got his regular shoes on.
Not in a walking boot.
Not in a walking boot and not on crutches. And he's not really, I mean, he just, that's a sore limp. That's not a hurt limp to me. That's a sore limp. But that's just Dr. Johnson, you know. That's just me. I'm just telling you, I analyzed Patrick Mahomes' ankle when he first did it.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, he'll be fine come Super Bowl. Everybody's like, oh, you're crazy. I said, man, the dude will be fine. All that's going to happen, as long as somebody doesn't grab it and twist it and turn it, he's going to get that certain jolt.
Yeah.
And that's it, and he'll be fine. Looking at LeBron, I notice he has his regular shoes on.
Okay.
You typically can't put your regular shoes on when you have some swelling because it just won't fit. Even if you take the shoelaces out, walk around with no laces, your foot just won't go in because the front of the shoe is so narrow that the swelling pushes there and it hurts like hell. But that's just me as a doctor.
Okay.
You know?
Good analysis, Mr. Dr. Johnson, when it comes to that. Sean in Washington, D.C. at 888-729-3776 has something to say about Damian Lillard. Sean, what you got?
Hey, listen, I think it would be important to get in that spot. But at the same time, I wanted to give y'all props how y'all brought the third out of Kyrie, because a lot of people, especially people on y'all network, take it personal with Kyrie and put that bad beat on him. But
I can't hear nothing you saying right now, boss, because you either got your radio up or you in the closet sneaking on the phone call. I can't hear him.
No, I have my headphones on. Keep my phone.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I knew it was something.
Yeah.
I want to give y'all props how y'all handled the Kyrie situation, as you broke it down earlier, saying with all the spots you've been to. But it's people that's on big platforms like on y'all network that – get personal with Kyrie and give him a bad beat, you know. But I just think you bringing that third eye, saying look at the whole picture, not just what you hear from the media and all that. Yeah, look at the whole picture. And second of all, if Bubba Wrap Davis, you know, if he's just saying straight up, yeah, I might can get that playoff spot, but I just don't trust Bubba Wrap. He's just too fragile.
Y'all get off my dude, man.
That's another new one.
He went from Dr. Cotton to street clothes to bubble wrap.
Exactly.
I mean, I get it. I understand it. But the Kyrie situation, look, some of it is his own undoing just based on how he constructs the way he go about delivering the message. But it's also a lot of, I don't want to say personal attacks, but a lot of personal feelings on the way people feel about Kyrie. That's all. Look, I've been through it in my own professional career. A person to tell you I can burn down a building just walking into it, which was a goddamn lie. But that was the narrative that people wanted to try to set up for who I was, because I didn't move to the beat of their drum. I moved to the beat of my own. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Even when I took the job at ESPN 17 years ago, they hired me, but I got executives walking around on eggshells that hired me. I had to tell them, Freddie, I said, man, I'm not going to bite you. But they just didn't – all they say was the guy going off on a coach on the sideline. So they had their own preconceived notions about who I was opposed to knowing me. Yeah. And I feel that's the same way Kyrie gets that message. And then in terms of the Lakers and the bubble wrap, I mean, look, we all know Anthony Davis has a light history of injuries. And if he stays healthy, the Lakers are a better team, period.
I find it funny, going back to what you said about executives – responding to you that way. How many times do you always hear from people, everybody should have their own free think? They should always think for themselves. But yet when somebody does it and it doesn't conform to their free thinking, then that person is a problem. I'm not condoning or excusing anything that's gone on in the past with Kyrie Irving. But I always find it interesting that the same people that talk about everybody needs to think for themselves and don't be a snowflake and all those kind of things, and then somebody like him who's not that – I brought that up for a reason, for effect. Don't read into it. But then when somebody does that like that, then all of a sudden they get upset about it and they get their nose twisted because of that.
They do. They do, but that's just the narratives that's said about certain guys. And they look at certain guys this way when you really should be looking at this guy that way.
Right, yeah. It's always the one doing the bait and switch, the one that brings it up, but that's the one you should be really paying attention to.
See you tomorrow, Snowflake.
I'll see you tomorrow, Mr. Key. Greeny with Mike Greenberg comes your way next. I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about involving the comeback by the Lakers and also what happened with Damian Lillard and his historic night. Greeny with Mike Greenberg comes your way next. For Keyshawn Johnson, I'm Freddie Coleman. This has been Keyshawn, Jaylen, and Max on the mighty ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.